Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 10, Number 10. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I discussed biological medicine, the 10th principle of sports nutrition in our ongoing PSN series. Biological medicine is the best medicine on the planet. It's more commonly known as integrative, functional, complementary, alternative, or natural medicine. But no matter what you call it, biological medicine is based on the philosophy that life itself is the sole object and purpose of life, as opposed to, say, making money. By design, biological medicine searches out causes and connects the dots of emotions, lifestyle, and genetics to each person individually, biochemically. It teaches how to prevent disease through the power of nutrition and fitness science and uses safe natural remedies to assist healing. It works with and not against the body. Keep that in mind with medicine as a general premise. Is the treatment working with or against the body? Biological medicine is compatible with the purpose of life, which, as I have already stated, is to live, sustain life, protect life, and preserve life. And to achieve this, specific knowledge is the means to that end. It also obeys the first law of medicine, which is do no harm. Our goal as fitness and sports nutrition teachers, advisors, and healthcare enthusiasts is simple: to get well and stay well lifelong, to prevent disease, preserve function, and teach others how to do the same. If we can do that, then we can truly say we've been successful as human beings. Earl Nightingale said that success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. So in the context of that statement, optimum health is the worthy ideal, and progressive realization is the application of the knowledge used logically to secure wellness and cellular integrity from the inside out. And that, my friends, is true success. On this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to introduce the title of a new book I'm working on called Habits of Health. Now, my first book, Recipe for Health, teaches how to get and stay well. It defines optimum health and describes 10 principles essential to its achievement. These include clean air, pure water, fresh juice, whole foods, natural light, physical exercise, personal hygiene, adequate rest and sleep, and nutritional supplements. In Habits of Health, I describe 7 habits of human behavior that improve and sustain long-term optimum health and wellness. They include 1, world travel, 2, sport, 3, music, 4, personal hobbies, 5, continuing education, 6, nature walks, and 7, gardening. Now, good habits create positive effects. Bad habits create negative effects. As creatures of habit, it's up to us to choose the right ones. Good habits should employ rational thought, improve resistance to disease, stimulate neurogenesis as we age, and provide massive personal pleasure and enjoyment. See, it's all about happiness on a personal level. Happiness is found in the process of doing what we love and enjoy. When you're doing something you love and enjoy, there's usually a certain degree of happiness. So happiness is not something that you can pursue. You also can't have it just because you want it. Aristotle said you have to do what it takes to be happy, not just want it. Just because you want something doesn't mean it's just going to automatically happen. Happiness ensues those who are willing and able to take action. So let's talk about my first habit of health, world travel. Now, travel broadens your mind, whereas staying put deepens it. If you're constantly on the move, you can't develop the same relationships with the environment or people that spending years or decades in one location permits. But here's the thing. There's a big wide world out there, and it's incredible to experience and see with your own eyes. Don't let it pass you by. There are a few things in life that can offer the same intrigue, adventure, mental stimulation, emotional satisfaction, and pure awe that world travel provides. Travel helps us discover new things about ourselves and the amazing world around us. Like exercise, travel forces us to adapt and remodel ourselves. In the process, we become more functional and independent. To fully develop our mind in context with reality, we must open it up to new thoughts and ideas. We must routinely compare what we currently know to what is ultimately known as truth. Now, travel can be stressful. There's no doubt about it. People who travel frequently are exposed to high levels of mental, emotional, and physical stress. That's why you have to be fearless, flexible, and fluent. You have to be mentally strong. World travelers must deal with immigration politics, airlines, racial discrimination, certain health risks, and even loneliness and heartache. But so be it. The benefits of travel far outweigh any risk or cost. Travel is a marvelous and incredible investment. I've been shot at, stabbed, chased by bandits, deceived by con artists, and even jailed by corrupt law enforcement agents. But in spite of these negative experiences, I wouldn't trade the personal growth, adventure, and education I gained for anything. I caught the travel bug early in life, and I've been infected ever since and love the infection. At age 8, I received a 12-inch globe of the world for Christmas. I would spin that globe around for hours, dreaming of where I wanted to go and what it would be like. But I had no idea how glorious and different the rest of the world really was. You really never do until you get out there and see it for yourself. So once again, get out there and see this planet. At age 19, I decided to leave home by myself and circumnavigate the globe. Yes, I had friends who wanted to go, but it was always issues of time and money. The willing part was there, but people had excuses. So ultimately, I packed my bags and took next to nothing with me and split by myself. I knew my destiny was out there. I was self-propelled. I was self-directed. I was motivated. I dreamed of traveling. So I just fulfilled the dream. Now, when I got out there and I began to hit different parts of the world, especially third world countries, I worked and broke bread with really different people, you know, from different cultures in some very strange and exciting new places, places I couldn't even imagine unless I had discovered them by being there. I met fascinating people with different attitudes and values than mine. Some of them better, some of them I questioned, some of them I processed. I visited hundreds of churches, temples, and mosques, and I asked questions everywhere I went. I went to universities, I talked to people, I had some great, great conversations. And I paid close attention to how the local people lived, how they thought, what they ate, how they moved. You know, I was paying attention. It wasn't just floating by in a bubble. I was paying attention to what I was seeing and observing and experiencing because I was looking for answers to my quest for the meaning of life. Like, what's it all about? And I come from Canada. Is that what life's all about? And why is it different here? And where did the differences come from? And so on and so forth. You begin to reason them out and you begin to question your own values and question some of the standards of life back home. Now, I trained in 1,000 gyms and I swam in lakes, rivers, oceans, and streams. I walked countless miles and hitchhiked across entire continents. I ate no refined food. I'd go to markets. I had fresh wild game. I mean, it's so easy to eat clean and whole when you know how to do it. You just don't buy junk and crap. And it's surprising how little food you need. But I was active and there's no reason not to be well and strong and maintain your fitness when you travel. You know, there's just no excuse for it. As a matter of fact, go to the gym. That's the anchor. That's the church. connect with people in there. I met countless people in the gym that opened up new travel opportunities for me and invited me into their homes or took me fishing. It was just incredible. Now, I laughed and I cried and I felt every emotion imaginable on my trip. I witnessed many incredible events, but this was my greatest discovery. Physically active people who consistently consume high-quality fresh real food and who live in sanitary conditions with access to clean running water demonstrate the best health. Now, I think having access to modern medicine is great, but it's obviously and clearly not the most important thing when it comes to the prevention of disease. Most people here go to doctors after they're infected or when they're sick. In other countries, the resources aren't available or the hospital isn't even there. So people are forced into living in unison and harmony with nature. And because there's no refined processed food, there's no factories, there's no fast food outlets, they just eat simple food like raw llama milk or quinoa or local grain or local meat. And they're healthy and they have to be active to get their food. They have to hunt, fish, farm, and scrounge for everything they eat. And there's not a lot of food. That's the key. They don't eat a lot of food, and they usually go to bed on an empty stomach, and they adapt to that. Now, every key lesson I learned abroad was profound, but the culture shock wasn't out there. Like, we hear that, the culture shock. When you go out, it's not out there. The culture shock is when you come back and you see how limited our thinking here is locally. How little people know. And then once in a while, you'll meet someone who's well-traveled and they really know what's going on. But most people have no idea what the issues are in Ireland or what the issues are in the Middle East or what it's like to travel throughout South America. They have impressions. They're all gained from what other people have said. That's called hearsay. And or watching television or watching travel documentaries, etc. But they haven't been there. They really don't know what it's like. And they do have a bias, a prejudice, a very limited knowledge of what it's really like. And really what it's like is what it is like. And you've got to get out there and experience it for yourself. And I'm not talking a five-star hotel experience, although if that's the only way you can do it, so be it. But I think it would be far more enjoyable to take some time off and live and work with the people. Permaculture is strong right now. There's work camps and communes and kibbutzes and all kinds of things. Parents, send your kids to these. It's a life changer. And really, it comes down to what is it that you can take home? And I think what happened for me is that it wasn't until I ventured out into the Forbidden Zone. It reminds me of Planet of the Apes. You know, there was this region where the apes weren't allowed to go into, and that's because that would break their beliefs in the paradigms that they were forced to believe by misguided education. You know, the whole series of Planet of the Apes is a type of modern life. It shows the arrogance of man. It looks at greed. It looks at the futility of the economic system and living only for money and what we do for it and all the rest of it. I love that whole series. And I haven't seen the latest one. I'm looking forward to that, the Planet of the Apes series. But it wasn't until I ventured into the Forbidden Zone, experienced that, and then I came back and then I realized how much I had changed and grown from within. And that was the shock. I couldn't connect with people locally. They couldn't relate to where I'd been. As a matter of fact, I discovered that most people didn't even ask me anything about my trip. It was mind-boggling. I'd gone on this incredible trip to dozens and dozens of countries, seen things that blew my mind. My mind had expanded. My neurons were so freaking activated, I could hardly contain my thoughts. And yet I found virtually no interest in people locally. They didn't ask questions. They didn't care. You know, you say, I just came back from a, you know, world global adventure, and they say, oh yeah, well, sounds good. Pass the French fries, please. So here's another thing I discovered, that first world countries are not the center of the world. They are not the best, the most progressive, or where freedom reigns exclusively. So if you think Canada is the best country in the world, you're wrong. If you think America is the best country in the world, you're wrong. The planet is one, it's whole. And obviously, if you were in the World Trade Center on September the 11th, 9/11, that whole experience, that would not be a pleasant experience. Really, your experience has to do with what's going on at the time in the environment where you're living. You could be in a war. You could be there during peace times. There is freedom here in North America. We are a multicultural, multidimensional group of people, which is great. But there is just no way that this is the best place to be in the world. In fact, if I had to choose one place, it's definitely not going to be in Canada. It's going to be in a warm tropical environment with beaches and with waves. But then that's just me. That's what I like. And it's all about what you like, what you need, and making the two one and the same. Now, we know that freedom and true health are a state of mind. And although environment and people do play a role in our health and happiness, it's what's inside your cerebral cortex that really counts. World travel helps to detoxify, restore, and rebuild you from the inside out. Now, here's my first travel story. It goes something like this. In 1976, I worked in a meat plant to supplement my college tuition. During a lunch break, I heard one of the butchers talking about his recent trip to Hawaii. And of course, I had heard of Hawaii, and I thought it sounded like very cool because I love surfing, thinking that I would love it at least by watching surfers and being out in the water. And, you know, I'm a Scorpio, so I'm theoretically supposed to be connected to the water. And I do love the water. So I remember, and I'll never forget, he was just beaming with energy. And he was smiling from ear to ear. And this guy is normally sullen-eyed and quiet. And he was just unlike his normal demeanor. So I knew that this trip had made a huge impact on his life. I couldn't help noticing how healthy and happy he looked. He had this nice tan and he was smiling and he was just overjoyed with his experience. And I said, so what's it like there? What is Hawaii like? You know, I've thought about it. I've wondered about it. You just came back from being there. What is it like? And he said, Corey, Hawaii is literally a paradise on earth. The weather is beautiful. The local people are friendly, the food delicious, the music great, and of course there's the wind and the waves, the palm trees, the ocean and the beaches, and of course, best of all, he said, are those lovely wahinis dressed in bikinis, and there's lots of wahinis on the beach, and what's cool is that there's people walking around in their swimsuits and bikinis pretty much everywhere. And it's just part of the lifestyle there. So that's kind of cool. If you're a guy and you're into the eye candy, and of course it works for the ladies too. There's lots of nice hunks. There's lots of nice bodies on the beach. They're just playing volleyball. They're surfing. They're on the beach playing with the frisbee. Kids, everything. It's just awesome. It's just a great outdoor, healthy lifestyle. So as soon as he said that, I was in. I was sold. I phoned a travel agent right away. I figured I had enough money. So because I found out how much it would cost to fly there and stay there, and it was just for a weekend. So now the next thing was getting the time off. I asked my boss the next day, and he said, no, sorry, Corey, I can't give you any time off. We're too busy, and we need you here. But it was too late. The seed of desire was planted. What this guy had said had taken root in the soil of my mind. Hawaii was calling, and I know that there's people out there. Hawaii is calling you. You've never been. You need to go. You've been before. You need to go back. Hawaii is calling. I booked a return flight to Honolulu on Monday and left Friday morning for the long weekend. I was 18 years old, and I'd never been anywhere off the continent. I did drive to California when I was 17 to meet Arnold and Joe Gold and experience that, but I just drove down from Vancouver to California, but I hadn't been off the continent. So this was my first big trip. Now, Hawaii is a state. It's the 50th state, so it's not really out of the states, but it is a different place. That's what makes it also so unique. Hawaii is just a mountain range sticking out in the middle of the ocean. It's just so cool. It's volcanoes, and it's so beautiful. I just can't tell you how beautiful it is. Now, I'll never forget looking down at Oahu for the first time as we began our descent. There was Pearl Harbor, Waikiki Beach, and Diamond Head. And of course, Diamond Head is Hawaii's most famous landmark. As I strolled off the plane, I was immediately hit by a wave of warm tropical air filled with the fragrance of Hawaiian flowers, plumeria. That's the one that really stands out. It's a beautiful flower. Of course, there's hibiscus, and I love the orchids there. But you can smell the fragrance of the Hawaiian flowers in the air. The air is warm. It's just so soothing. Now, I heard Hawaiian music. I saw palm trees swaying in the wind. I could feel the rays of the Hawaiian sun beating down on my cold Canadian skin. And believe me, I love the sun. So you're out there. You've just come from the winter in Canada, and of course the West Coast is nothing like the East Coast, but still it's cold, it's damp, and you're seeking sun. There's not a lot of sunshine during a BC winter. Lots of rain in the rainforest. So that sun just felt so good, and it's like it affects you emotionally. You hear that Hawaiian music, you see the palm trees, the beauty. You can feel the sun, and you're just thinking, I knew I was in Hawaii, but it felt like heaven. And then this beautiful Hawaiian girl comes up to me with that beautiful aloha smile, and I get laid. And I'm just thinking, this is heaven. Hawaii and heaven, they're one and the same. So all I can say is, from that point on, I learned how to body surf. I had a fantastic weekend. I actually stayed at the Sheraton. I had parties every night. I met tons of people. I realized that it was possible to live there. And I couldn't believe that at first. But when I figured out that it was possible to live there and that people do live there, from that moment on, my goal, my focus in my mind was to one day go and move to Hawaii. And I think about 6 years later, that dream came true. And Daisy was born on Maui. We lived in Kihei. I was working at a resort. I had it made. I had a dirt bike. I had a Maui cruiser, which is kind of like an old beater car. I trained outside. Our gym was under a huge mango tree. We had free weights. I surfed. I ran. I swam. I was so healthy and strong. It was unbelievable. I was 24. I was just living the life. It was a very simple life. And it was the kind of life that I love to live. And so I'm telling you, everyone out there, that no matter what it is you want to do, you've got to do it. And what actually happened was, we were just talking one night, and the surge and the desire was so strong inside of me. My first wife at that time, Anna, she said, Corey, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. And she was 8 months pregnant, and we went there on a dime. It was unbelievable. We had just gotten married, and we sold all the wedding gifts. We hadn't even opened them. We returned them all. I think we had like a couple $1,000. She's 8 months pregnant. We're sleeping in a tent on the Big Island on a dairy farm, not knowing where we're going to have the baby, and we didn't care. And it sounds foolish, and it sounds crazy, but it all worked out. It was all incredible. We eventually moved to Maui from the Big Island because a friend of mine said, Corey, come over. We're in Kihei. It's incredible here. It's great for raising a family. He put us up for a couple of weeks until we found this nice little cottage in Maui Meadows close to Wailea. It was up, maybe a 20-minute walk from the beach up Haleakala. And, of course, we're living on Haleakala. We found out about upcountry and where we're eating papaya and pineapple and fresh fish. And I learned how to scuba dive, and I threw net, and I fished with my friends. It was completely awesome. Now, it didn't last forever. Nothing does. But the fact is that I did make it happen. And the point here is that whatever it is you want to do, you've got to make it happen. You've got to do it yourself. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to people who say that you can't do it. If it's burning inside of you, if it's real, make it happen. And I'm telling you, it will be one of the most incredible experiences of your life. Not actually even doing it. It's the fact that you did it. It's the fact that you made it happen, and then that helps build up your self-esteem and makes you feel very confident. It makes you realize that you are in control to a large degree of your destiny and your life and your health. So hang loose, brah, and I'll see you in Hawaii next April. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from American philosopher, writer, lecturer, and poet Ralph Waldo Emerson. Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail.